The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the show, and waiting for some of these key states to be called for President Trump, talking about your North Carolina, your Ohio, even your Florida, which is securely in President Trump's category. There's no question about that. He won Florida. Some of the other swing states that we know still watching: Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona out west, and so forth. We're pleased to be rejoined by Matt Maher. He is the president at OpportunityOhio.org, contributor to The Spectator. And Matt, before the break, just talking about the reshaping of the Trump winning coalition, if he is reelected tonight. And it's really changing out a lot of suburban woke women, leftist suburban women with college degrees, for perhaps a greater percentage of the Latino vote, particularly men, perhaps a greater percentage of the black vote, particularly men. And this divide between men and women in America, we talk so much about race, a little bit about gender, but not in this way. This is an annual reporting that Mark Perry does, economics professor, University of Michigan. For every 100 girls in America, for every 100 girls, for example, who earn a bachelor's degree, only 74 men do. For every 100 women enrolled in graduate schools, only 75 men are. For every 100 girls who are in the top 10% of their high school class, only 79 men are, and so forth. The education divide along gender lines, and how we should perhaps look at that in terms of the Trump Republican Party.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, look, I have spent the last 15 years fighting for right to work in Ohio. And, you know, the reality now is that is somewhat of a dead policy move in a place like Ohio if you want to get the, you know, Trump Democrat blue-collar union workers, because it matters to them. So it creates a lot of interesting threads, right? If we can be viable with the Hispanic vote in places like Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado at some point, Nevada, you know, expands a map and secures Texas for us, because we can't win the presidency without Texas. So it's you start seeing some interesting wrinkles about what does the Republican Party look like after, you know, this election. And I think it's going to be, if he wins a second term, you can't just dismiss 2016 now. You have to say there's been a fundamental change in the Republican Party coalition makeup. And what does that mean for policy? What does that mean for the state maps? And how does that mean we need to change how we approach things going forward?
Yeah, there's something else, too, that's happening right now. I mean, even the pollsters that were the couple of them that were predicting a Trump victory tonight, not necessarily predicting a Trump popular victory. He wasn't going to necessarily secure the popular vote, as he didn't in 2016, but they nonetheless predicted he would win the necessary 270 electoral votes. What if he wins the popular vote tonight? It sort of sends a message that that may shock some of those in the suburbs that, you know, we got you outnumbered. Frankly, it's great that you've got a bachelor's in art history from Mount Holyoke, but I'm going with all these steelworkers over here.
Well, he won't win the popular vote. I wish that weren't the case, or that was the case, but once California reports,
probably
they'll win California by 6 million votes, and right now Trump's ahead of the popular vote about 2.5 million. Now, granted, that's, you know, that's about 83 million. So we're probably somewhere around 70 million left to come in. But unfortunately, about, you know, a huge chunk of those will come out of California and other places. But so I don't think he'll win the popular vote. But again, what I've been, my view, Dan, on this has been the Electoral College. Our argument needs to be Trump has won the popular vote in a majority of states.
Right.
And that's what's important. Right?
Yes,
idea that you take away California, he wins the popular vote. So once, you know, I don't want to talk about the national California popular vote. Trump has won the popular vote in a majority of states, and that's what matters.
Right. And so what is that message? And I mean, I guess the question is, and it's hard to know the answer to it, but maybe there should be a specific overture made same way he has made specific overtures to minority communities. And perhaps, as we'll find out when all the dust settles, more effectively than any Republican in recent memory. Maybe the only comparison of recent memory would be George W. Bush with the Latino vote specifically. So maybe an overture that he's made to those suburbanites to say, look, you know, I guess sort of what he had been saying, but this is beyond him now. Forget the personality. Forget even President Trump, because this is the last time you have to make a decision, electoral decision on President Trump. Figure out where you want to be, how you want, what you think your interests are, and who actually represents them. Do you just want to be an identitarian drone? Do you really want to wall yourself off from 2/3 of, you know, of America? You think that's a path to a better, more rich life in America? I don't know. Is there a challenge to the suburbs that seem to be drifting away from Republicans, or do you just let them go?
No. I think that gets us to the 2024 discussion, right? Let's pretend that the states currently being that are red remain red. That means Trump wins the second term with about 295 electoral votes, let's call it, which, by the way, would be more than George Bush won in 2000 and 2004, right? So I think it talks about the 2024. What that means is Nikki Haley a strong candidate because she can appeal to the suburban women, right? Is Tim Scott a strong candidate because he can further dig into the African-American vote, right? Is there a strong Hispanic candidate out there? And I'm not saying I'm never going to be an advocate that we bean count the way the left does. But I think what we have to think about is, you know, in 2024, if we want to continue to win and expand our strength where we're weak, do we put our best and brightest forward, who frankly just so happen to be people like Nikki Haley and Tim Scott, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think you're right. I think it immediately turns to the 2024 conversation, and also the, you know, here's the vision for the Republican Party as a majority governing party, too, not just in the White House. He is Matt Maher, president at OpportunityOhio.org, contributor to The Spectator. Matt, thanks for joining us so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Grab a good seat and sharpen your pencils. Class is in session with Professor Dan Proft and The Dan Proft Show.